I'm very excited. I'm happy to introduce to you Brian Thompson. I've known Brian, we were trying to figure it out this morning, somewhere between 15 and 20 years. I feel old making that statement. This is a man that I have a mountain of respect for, a man who is literally impacting the globe in various nations through hundreds of different people. The neat thing about Brian is he carries his heart on the outside. And you're going to get to hear his heart this morning, and you're going to experience his heart this morning. He's so neat to talk to. So I welcome Brian, and his wife Connie is with him this morning. Come on up and share your heart.
Good morning, everybody. I'm just very, very impressed with your church as you just drive up on Main Street. Mm-hmm. And then just all the wonderful smiles and handshakes. It's just you're a wonderful, friendly church. So go ahead and smile at your neighbor again, just because they're a good-looking, smiling family. Connie and I have grown up in Alberta. We're Alberta beef. Hallelujah. And, yeah, we were both raised on a farm. Any farming background people here? Very good. Yeah. My dad and I raised pigs, and her dad raised cows. So we have this feud going on. No, not a feud, but pigs make a lot of money. Connie and I gave our lives to Christ when we were 16 years old, and it just took a major turn in our lives. And then we started attending the same church in Olds, Alberta. Anybody know Olds, Alberta? We grew up on a farm west of Olds, and our lives were completely changed when we were 16 years old. In fact, we were in the same country school. I was in grade 2, she was in grade 1, and we were in the same class. So we've known each other for 58 years. I was the quiet little farm boy, and she's the beautiful blonde that everybody knew, but she didn't even know I existed back then. And then we became Christians, and we went to the same church, and we fell in love with each other. And I got blessed. I married up. And so 45 years we've been together. And we have, what is this picture, Connie?
This is what we've been doing.
Wow, you're getting. God said be fruitful and multiply. We're just obeying the Bible.
So we did. So this is all of our kids and all of their kids. And we have one more arriving in May, and then I think we're done. That's 14 grandkids. And
I tell her she looks pretty good to be a grandmother of 14. Woohoo!
And we love what we do.
We've been pastors for 45 years together. We've been married 45. We're both in the ministry. And we started as youth pastors in Olds. Then we moved into Red Deer, where we were associate pastors. So I became a Christian at 16, and then we were on staff of a home church in Red Deer for 16 years. And then God, there was a prophetic person that came and prophesied over us that we were to start traveling. And we prayed about it, and we felt God leading us. So Connie and I, we started traveling for 16 years, where we met Pastor Ken and Gail back, and we were touring through. We went through Canada mostly, some mission trips, and ministered in 60 different denominations in Canada. I didn't even know there was that many denominations. You start traveling and get invited. As long as I can talk about the Lord, we can go anywhere pretty well. And then another major event happened in our lives. So 16 saved, 16 in the local church, traveling for 16 years. Do you ever find God using different things in your life? 16 has been a popular number. For the last 16 years, we have started a charity called Home of Hope that is on the backslide. But some of you got a little brochure when you came in. Gail and her team, like what a great, you know, got to push the button and opened the door and welcomed us. And then all this, Gail is the pastor's wife. Where is she? She's probably out there serving, getting ready for Sunday school. Look at that. Can you give your pastor and his wife a hand? Like, What great people. I go to a lot of churches. That was one of the best welcomes. Hey, hit the button. Come on into church. Welcome to church. So we've been leading the Home of Hope ministry and we've started 120 churches in 13 countries the last 16 years. That's why I haven't come through before much, Pastor Ken. We've been out starting churches, and we're starting 28 churches this year. And many of our churches that we start are in extremely poor areas. So we started, you know, helping children. And the whole story is in this book that we read or wrote together during COVID. And it's a wonderful book that is available at the back. It's got 162 color pictures. I've never seen a book like this. Color pictures. Have you seen books like this? This is a really good book. God really helped us. And sponsors gave all the money to print this book. So when you buy the book, if you want one for $25, every cent goes to help children. And it's just a wonderful situation that God's given us so that we can tell our story and how we got involved with children. And so there's the whole story, 16, 16, 16. And then during COVID, Connie and I have done a lot of marriage seminars. We like telling people some of the tips that we've got to stay married. You know, how do you stay married to that man for 45 years? So she helped write this book.
So we wrote a book called The 10 Top Tips for a Terrific Tantalizing Twosome.
Say that fast.
And, yeah, that was his idea was the
kind of quirky. But.
Yes, because that's what he is. So,
you're funny today.
I know. I had a long ride to think
you,
of all these
And you
things.
Had two coffees. So, yeah. That's what Starbucks can do to you.
So just so that you know, if you want to pick up both the books, we're going to give you a deal today for $35 for the two of them. Because 25 plus 15 equals 40, so you get a deal. But we just, this is not the answer to all of your problems, but it can help give you some tips of things that can help. And one of the things that we noticed whenever we've done any kind of marriage counseling is we'll ask the couple, when was the last time you were out on a date? Mm. Just the two of you. And often they'll just hit each other.
He never takes me out on dates anymore.
And so they've just kind of gotten into a bad routine where their marriage is not the most important part of their lives. And when all of those kids leave, all of a sudden it's just the two of you, you should actually like who you're living with. So that just gives you some great little tips. It helps.
You're funny. Hello. Okay.
Thanks.
Pastor Ken invited us just to share a little bit about our passion and how God got us into helping so many orphans and doing what we're doing internationally. And I was as I was thinking, this Bible verse has been a real key verse in my life for many years. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as it is written, no eye has seen, our eyes, no ear, our ears have heard, and no human mind, our minds have not conceived the things that God has prepared, not had, has prepared for you, Rebecca. God's got good plans for you. Has prepared, I told her I'd try not to pick on her. The things that God, she smiles so nice, for those that love him. You know what? If you love the Lord, God has things planned for all of us before the world was even created. God has a plan. Can you say it with me? God has a plan.
God has a plan.
Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, God has a plan for you.
Uh-huh.
And it's good to see some grandparents here. Connie and I are 65 years old, and we know what it is, the grandparents. We're not slowing down. We're gonna keep going. And God has a plan even for seniors. We're not just going to get older and older and sit in a rocking chair and complain about our knees all the time. God's got a plan for us. And he's prepared things before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And God had a plan. You know, we can get comfortable in our life. Think, well, I just love Jesus. I'm traveling. I'm preaching in churches. And God is good. And Jesus said, go into all the world. I'm trying to obey God. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, God told us to start caring for orphans. And I didn't see it coming at all. So you got to be careful when you walk with the Lord. Be careful if you're comfortable. Because God has plans for you and I. Plans that we're not in yet. God's got more plans for us before creation. That, and you were created with abilities. You're created with certain desires. Somebody will like playing the guitar, and I've never had a desire to play the violin. But God gave her a desire to play the violin. And so when I was growing up watching the Oilers win the hockey games, you'd see the beer commercials come on, but then you'd see these pictures of children with flies all over them, and they're starving in their bellies. I couldn't care less. I just flipped and flipped and flipped, and thank God my wife bought the PVR. You just fast forward, fast forward, fast forward. I couldn't care less. I really did. I love Jesus, but just those stories did not touch me at all. But then when God told me to go to Africa, I went and specific directions from the Lord to go to Rwanda, who had gone through a terrible genocide where 1 million people in Rwanda were killed by their neighbors and friends and even their spouses. A terrible, in fact, they just celebrated 30 years last week. And as when I went over to Rwanda, I spoke in this church that invited me to come, and I asked a very foolish question afterwards. I said, "Do you know any desperate children or any orphans?" And this pastor, he said, "Come with me," and we just went down this little mud, little cattle trail, down this really hard place to walk, and we walked into this building with four...
It wasn't a building.
A little tiny mud hut. Yeah. Thank you. Little tiny mud hut, and here's four little children. Their father had just died of HIV, AIDS, and their mother was in the hospital on stage 4, ready to die any day. And Rwanda was the number one, back then, the number one need for orphans and the number one nation of children raising children. You can see the oldest sibling here with the look in her eyes, like, "I've got to care for my brothers and sisters." They had no food.
She was 12, right?
And, yeah, 12 years old at the time. And when you see children right in front of you, it's way different than just flipping through the channels of the TV. And God told me to start helping these four kids. We immediately got them some rice, and we went and prayed for... This is a wonderful story. We went to the hospital with a doctor who heard me speak, Christian doctor, went in and saw his mother, and we prayed for her, and God healed her of the AIDS, and she got out of the hospital. Yeah. Exciting. But we started with these four children, and our book is called Meant For More, with the number 4, because this is where it all started, these four children. And we've been sponsoring, in fact, I had these four kids on my fridge when I came home. And we'd have friends over for supper, and they said, "Brian, what's God doing in your life?" And I'd start crying, and I'd talk about these four kids. And they said, "We want to sponsor," and took the sponsor kid right off our fridge. So I hid the little boy on the left. I said, "I'm going to keep him." And there he is just 2 years ago. He graduated with a Bachelor of Business. Amen. And then here's the picture of the four kids, and the older daughter now is married. And just a little bit of money every month can change people's lives, because they absolutely have nothing that they have to live on. So this totally changed my life. And I didn't plan on starting a charity 17 years ago to help orphans. It just started growing and growing. And, I came back home after this trip. Connie says, "How was your trip?" And I just started crying. And Pastor Mel, who's been my pastor for 45 years, "How was your trip?" I just started crying. And that God just reworked my heart. And this is one of the scriptures that I was on the way home from this trip. I was around all these poor kids, and I never cried once. I got on the airplane, and this lady beside me said, "Well, what were you doing in Rwanda?" And I couldn't even get one sentence out. I just started crying. I just, the friend with me, I said, "We changed seats. You tell her." And I was crying and crying and crying. And it was because of this verse. I'm saying, "God, what are you doing in my life? Why am I crying so much?" The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. And God told me to go. I obeyed him. But then on the plane on the way home, he just started pouring in his love. I cried most of the way home. It was just hard to believe I could cry that much. Flight attendants were coming and saying, "Are you okay?" I said, "Just a few more Kleenex, please." They bring me a whole big pack or whatever. And so this verse is how God shocked me and surprised me. Someone asked me in the hallway, more like God hijacked my plane. We were going this direction, and God says, "No, we're going to go this direction now." And that's how it all started. Connie, do you want to share a story?
So one of the stories that I love in the book and this was a few years after Brian had been kind of going back and forth, he met a young boy named Jean-Marie in Rwanda, in Jabana, Rwanda, which I think you guys were sponsoring there. That was one of the, that was the first place that he, that we went in Jabana, or in Rwanda. Anyways, his parents had died, and he had no one to take care of him, and so we started like a family unit where we would have a caregiver and eight orphans that needed care. And so we took care of him. He grew up and just was very, he was able to go to school.
He was the worship leader in the church.
He became the worship leader. He just has become a very vital part of the church there. Anyways, he was the youth pastor. And meanwhile, there was a young girl about an hour away in another village in Rwanda. And her name is Jo. She has a number of names. Jojo. Anyways, she was in the, this happened, the same thing happened to her. She, her parents had died. She was in a family unit that we had set up in Chiru.
About an hour and a half away from each other.
And so there was a youth conference and they met. And obviously you can tell by the picture, they married. And now they have a little baby. And that baby's not an orphan. That's a really great story to me.
We're going to talk more about this, but Connie, why don't you just say this while you're up here, if people want to help out. Thank you for the many people that have already talked to us at the table.
Mm-hmm. So on the table, we, when Brian said he put kids on the fridge, he actually put pictures of the kids.
I didn't put the kids on the fridge. She's funny.
So we have pictures with a little bit of a write-up on each of the children. This one is Owen, who was abandoned by his, probably his mom. She might have been like a teenage, like 12 or 13 years old in Kenya. And so the baby was brought to our dream center where we care for babies. And we have information on the back of how much each child needs to be sponsored. So in the dream center, they cost a little bit more. And then it also, in our dream center, Brian will probably get back to this more, but we also have child care workers who work. We have to have 24-hour care. They don't work 24 hours, but they need, we need to get them some sponsorship too. So if any of you would like to sign up to sponsor monthly, $50 a month or more, however much you would like to give, you also get a tax receipt at the end of the year. And we just have been doing this. It just kind of evolved from the first four to now the however many. I need to find out how many kids we've done sponsored.
Thank you, Connie. And it's wonderful to have your wife working with you. And also our daughter, Carissa, is has two little children. So she was on maternity leave, but now she's back working 4 days a week. And can you go back to slide 14, please, Graham? When we were in Jabana, just starting, so I was shocked to see desperate kids before me for the first time in my life. Then we're starting to rescue kids, and then this shocked me. One of the children that we rescued, the lady went to the washroom, which, you know, we have an outhouse in Canada, the simple little outhouse with a building. They don't even have that. It was more like a hole in the ground surrounded by some sticks and branches. This lady was going to the washroom and heard a baby crying down the hole, and some of those holes are like 80 feet down. When they dig, and this baby was crying down there. I don't have a picture of the baby, but there she is, maybe 4 years old. They called some of the local men. They went down and fished this baby out, and the lady that was going on the toilet at the time accepted the baby if we would give them some sponsorship. So this young girl now has grown up, and I was just in Rwanda in December, and I took this picture. She's now 17 years old in Jabana, and she wants to become a nurse. Isn't that wonderful? So you just, I like, one of the things I like is not just seeing the needs, but seeing the success stories afterwards and how people have sponsored, someone has sponsored that wonderful girl for 17 years, and they probably will sponsor her through her medical school. So I was shocked to see we're not just rescuing orphans, but kids that are thrown away. I was just, as a Canadian farm boy, you just never heard of things like that. Then when we were going to Rwanda, we had to stop over all the time in Nairobi for a layover. Often we would have a 7-hour layover to get the plane to go to Rwanda. And when I was on a layover, we found out that babies were being thrown away live in the downtown garbage of Nairobi, Kenya. They have a 30-acre dump. That's just a little picture of these mounds and mounds of garbage, the biggest, ugliest landfill I've ever seen, garbage. And babies were being thrown away. And we saw a TV news document that 20 babies were being thrown away every month. That was the news, the local news. So we didn't know how to help, so we hired guards, $5 a day. As soon as the sun came out, they would walk through this dump looking for babies. And often our guards would get there too late because these great big stork birds, there was hundreds of these birds, and these babies would, I can't be graphic today, but they were impossible to save these babies. So we stood in that dump and we said, God, how can we help? And I felt like God showed me that we needed to put up great big billboards saying, please don't throw away your baby. Call this number. And we've been getting 15 calls a day for the last 12 years of young girls that are living in the slums. So many slums in Nairobi. One of them we work in the most has 700,000 people in it. The majority of teenage girls are illiterate and are subject to all the violence and rape and incest. And a lot of these girls are malnourished. And when they are due, they throw their baby away. And we've rescued different babies. This is the first baby that we've rescued that was thrown away in a plastic bag with his umbilical cord. It's still attached. And we thank God for the sponsor. What we do is you can sign up to name the baby. And a sponsor from Canada named this baby Samuel, which means God heard my prayer. And one of our scriptures that God gave us is 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. I don't have it on the screen. It says, God rescued us when we were in a field. He lifted us out of the dump, and he set us on thrones as princes. It's a wonderful verse. It's two times in the Bible. One is 1 Samuel chapter 2. And that's our vision. We're going to rescue these kids, and we're going to give them the best of the best they can. And there's little Samuel a year or so later, and the shock of just seeing this little boy. And now in my book, I have more pictures, but there he is, 12 years later, another great success story. Isn't that wonderful? Can you give God a praise? This is what I do. And the slums are some of the most dangerous areas. And when you go in there, we have a security, we have a policeman with a gun in the front, a policeman with a gun in the back. And we tour into this area just to pray and to meet some of the people and help them. And one of these little shanties, a lot of them have a roof that's about this high. So a big guy like me, I got to go way down and go into these little tiny shanties. And once there was a shanty there, and there was a baby crying in the shanty, and the door was locked. And this person kept going by and kept hearing this baby and watching. And this little baby, his name is Jaden, was in there crying for 2 weeks. He had been starving. He sucked all the skin off all of his 10 fingers to stay alive. And the picture of him in the middle was about 3 months. He was in the hospital for about 3 months, and that's him after being fed for 3 months. There's one of our sons that went with us. All of our kids have been over to Africa with us and sponsored. There's our son Ryan, who's there, and then there I'm holding it. And when I was holding Jaden, when I was there last year, our daughter Carissa said, Dad, when you go, because he's one of my favorites. I see Jaden every time I go. She said, when you see Jaden, try to reenact this picture on the right. Well, I'm a farm boy, and I work out a little bit, but it was pretty tough. I actually was able to try to lift him up and to help him. But that what a history, hey? My book is called Meant for More. My life was meant for more, and these kids are meant for more than just to die in some little house, sucking all their skin off their fingers. And Jaden, all these kids and their legal guardians and our lawyers, of course, have helped us, making sure as we put pictures. So I'm just telling the story again to Jaden of his story, and he's definitely so thankful. You know, one of the things I like telling these orphans that, you know, what do you think God has got for you on the planet? What do you want to become? And some of them a lot of, you know, want to be a policeman and a soldier because that's maybe all they know. And I start saying, you could do anything God's calling you to do because you have a, you know, God's prepared before the world. He's got a plan for you. This is what I teach in the book. And I use this story. Any of you guys like baseball at all? I know we cheer for the Toronto Blue Jays, right? But, sorry, this is a New York Yankee story. This man right here, Aaron Judge, was the best home run hitter, I think, last year. Gets paid $40 million a year. This is about a year-old story for the New York Yankees. And I like the New York Yankees just because of him, so don't be mad at me. This man, 6'7" or whatever, was an orphan and was adopted by this wonderful little lady here. And who would know? And I said, listen, you might not be, you know, little Jaden, you might not make $40 million a year. You don't have to play baseball, but God's got something great for you, and you're accomplished for greatness. Amen? So I was shocked to hear these babies thrown down the toilet. I was shocked to see them thrown away live in the garbage. And even more so, I was shocked to see some kids that are literally tortured. This is baby Franklin that was had a whole big pot of water poured on him to try to scald him and to kill him. We tell the story in the book, and there he is about 17 years old today in our book. Amen. Can you give God praise for that? This little boy. Nobody wanted him. You know, it's one thing to say, I don't want this baby anymore and throw it away. But, you know, why torture these poor kids? This little boy was not wanted as, I think he's maybe 5 years old. The stepfather poured gasoline on top of him and lit a match to try to kill him. His body was burnt so bad that his fingers had been fused together, melted together, and a sponsor paid $2,000 to separate all of his little fingers and try to give him some kind of hope for the future. And there, little Lawrence is writing a thank you note after his operation to his sponsor. Isn't that wonderful? But how people can be so cruel. And there he is. I think he's about 16 years old there now. And I was there at Christmas time last year, and he's one of my favorites. I spend time with him every time I go. I leave in 9 days. To go back to Rwanda and Kenya. And I said to Lawrence, I said, you know, not too big, but what can I get you for Christmas? And you know what? He said, I don't want anything for myself. He said, I got 100 friends that are living in the slum that have nowhere to sleep, and they live on glue, sniffing glue. And he said, if you want to help, Brian, can we feed these guys a Christmas meal? So I said, Lawrence, I'll pay the money to feed 100 of your friends if you give your testimony about Jesus. He worked on his sermon for three weeks, and he had someone else helping him. They fed on Christmas Day this last year, and 60 of those kids gave their lives to Christ when Lawrence preached the gospel to them. Isn't that amazing? Lawrence, you have a future. You're on this planet for a reason. You know, maybe a man didn't want you, but God's got a plan for you before the world was created. God knew all this thing. Nothing could surprise him. Here's another verse that motivates me. This is why I remind you, every one of us, fan into the flames the spiritual gift that God's given you when I laid my hands on you, Paul said to Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and a sound mind. Whatever we're called to do, God wants to give us supernatural power to help us. You know, I was with one of our granddaughters last night, and she's 15. She said, Grandpa, I want to come to Africa with you. She just finished reading the book. It's also available on audiobook. They listen to it on audiobook. And I said, well, you know, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. If you come with me, you got to talk. You know, you got to tell me, oh, I don't know if I can do that. So I'm coaching her because God wants to use our grandkids. I'm trying to influence them. And I said, you don't need to be scared. She's 15 years old, a little bit shy. I said, God will give you the Holy Spirit. God will give you the words, whatever you're called to do. And you don't need to come to Africa. No, I want to come to Africa. I said, you can't go unless you learn to share the gospel of Jesus and give a testimony. I'm just giving her a little thing. And Connie and I also lead our Bible school now as of 2 weeks back in Red Deer. And our grandkids are wanting to come to the Bible college. Isn't that amazing? It's a good Bible college. Amen. Just a couple more stories. Here's as we rescue babies, here's a picture that our daughter put together of the babies when they were rescued, 2012, then 2014, and then 2020 as they're growing older with wonderful sponsors. Right now we have 57 babies living in the Dream Center. And we just keep rescuing babies. 2 days ago, we rescued another baby. Often, someone will find this baby in the garbage, literally, or put some babies, when the big sign, don't throw away your baby, the babies are just sitting on the ground waiting for someone to find it and call. And we were rescuing these babies, and we've never said no yet. But we have 12 babies that are not sponsored. And, you know, it's sad. The government doesn't help us at all. But when we start rescuing babies, then we have to follow all these rules that we need so many caregivers for so many babies to care for them on 24 hours. So we need legally to have 15 caregivers and making a minimum wage to keep this operating. And right now we had a wonderful sponsor that was sponsoring these caregivers for 6 years, but because of the economy, he just had to cancel. So we have a little bit of a need for these caregivers. Some people love sponsoring babies, get to name the baby, but we also need some money to help the caregivers who are helping these kids. Just for sake of time, I need to jump ahead a little bit here. We started in Rwanda, then we went into Kenya, and then we went into Congo, which is, if you search Google, it's usually the number one or number two poorest countries in the world. And I was in this vehicle. I walked over the border from Rwanda into Congo. We jumped into a vehicle, and we're driving to do a crusade to start our first church in Congo. And as we're driving along, we saw this little boy, and he's scooping that water out of the ditch to take home. Like, what will happen if a family drinks that kind of water? And I just saw it and thought, wow, that's... And we kept driving, and the Holy Spirit told me to stop and help that kid. And I thought about it for a second, and then God imposed it on me. And when you're a pastor and you know the Bible, you can get really convicted because you know the Bible. And God spoke to me right there in the vehicle. He says, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And God said, Brian, if you don't go help that child, my love isn't in your heart. And it hit me so hard. So I said, back up the van. And we backed up the van. And we had these big water jugs that we have so we can drink lots when we're traveling. And I gave this big jug. And I asked the gentleman, and I said, you know, find out where this boy lives, and can you visit him later? And we arranged to help this boy. We went on, and we preached the gospel, and we started the church. And then I was just writing this book and telling this story because I believe God gave me that as a test. You know, because we have this saying, everyone needs Jesus and everyone needs a home. And everyone, I mean, oh, God loves the multitude. You know, we help 6,000 kids feeding them and helping with their shoes. You know, most of these kids in the refugee camps of Congo don't have shoes. They live in a little straw tent when it rains. They're sleeping in the mud. It's just one of the slums of Nairobi and the refugee camps of Congo are the worst places I've been in my life. And we try our best to help thousands and thousands of these kids. So I'm writing this book during COVID, and wonderful people help give donations to help write the book. And I asked them if they could go back and help find this boy. And this is the boy 8 years later. And I went over and met him again, and I said, do you remember? He goes, I'll never forget. He took the water home to his mom that day. Then he came running after. He said, where's the white man? They call him Muzungu. Some of you guys from Africa might know, Muzungu, where's the Muzungu? And where's the van? This boy comes running after, and he said, did you see a white van with a Muzungu? Yeah, go here. And he chased after. And he remembered my sermon. He came there in time I was still speaking. Love God, love people, and love life. That was my outline back then. And this, and we had a feeding program. That boy came to the feeding program, and he gave his life to Jesus that day. And he's still in our church in that area today. Isn't that wonderful? You know, you can see such need everywhere you go in Africa sometimes, but God's interested in each person. And, you know, my wife tells a story about this. You come up to the beach, and you see thousands of, what do they call it, starfish. And there's one boy throwing this starfish back one at a time. And this guy came up and says, there's thousands of starfish here. You're wasting your time. And he goes, not for this one. not for this one. And one by one, he's throwing them back. And sometimes we just got to do what God's called us to do, even though there's a big, big project out there, lots to do. We just got to do what God's told us to do. Amen. And I've got to wrap up here, but I want to encourage you, if you want to pick up one of these books, this book will probably make you cry, especially women. I gave it to one of my friends, and he goes, "Brian, I've got to be honest with you. I don't like reading. I'm a man." You know, I said, "There's 162 color pictures." And he goes, "I promise to look at every picture." And you might just want to, I said, you could just look at the picture and maybe read the story of how we're helping. And one of the greatest ways we've ever done in many years is microloans. When a child in Rwanda and Congo has a mother who can work, microloans. And I asked for permission. When we met Trish and Trevor about 16 years ago, I had just found out what microloans were, that you could give a lady $100 and over 6 months she'd pay back the money and she could feed her own children. And I just found out that as a solution. And they gave the first gift to start the microloan whole project. And we help thousands and thousands of, say that if there's 500 ladies that are on a microloan, they all average 5 kids per lady. You do the math. We take the microloan and that same money is paid back and is given to 500 more ladies. Or it just multiplies and multiplies. So we have a goal of helping 5,000 more children every year. And the number one project is microloans. Can you give Tricia and Trevor a hand? They helped start that whole project. They even showed me some pictures of how they shaved all their hair off. They got the picture there. No, not you. But if you shaved off your hair. But he shaved off his hair with another friend, and they raised $10,000 to help our projects. It's just, this is what we're called to do. Jesus said to go, and we just keep trying to follow God. There's another level, and we're meant for more. Can we bow our heads today? Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to tell people about Jesus and how you saved us at age 16. And Lord, how you've led us step by step, that we are all meant for more. Lord, we are all important to you, and you have a plan for every one of us. Before the earth and Saturn and the sun was ever created, you have a plan for us before the beginning of time, that we're on this planet for a reason. And not all of us need to go to Africa but Lord, you have a plan for every one of us of what we can do to tell people about Jesus and do whatever we're called to do. Bless these wonderful new friends in Jesus' name. Amen. Jared's going to come up back up and lead some worship. After the service.
Thank you, Brian and Connie, for sharing with us. And we're gonna close with a song. And I guess kind of the thought that I have listening to all those stories is that's a really difficult place to have hope. And so we're gonna close with the song "Cornerstone," and begins with the line, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." So, if you'd like to stand with us, I'll invite you to do that as we close.